Hello, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is your host Charlotte. Today we have a special guest, and she has a very interesting background. She is originally come from India, but here doing some Chinese medicine in Canada, Vancouver. Because her story is so interesting, I'm gonna let my guest or our guest today to introduce herself. Welcome.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thanks for having me. This is amazing.
Right. How do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. So my name is Dr. Gehana Shankar. I'm a naturopathic physician. And one of the main reasons why I got into naturopathic medicine was my experience with traditional Chinese medicine. And how I saw amazing benefits from it when I was 17 years old, when I moved from India to Canada. Mm-hmm. And I had had, I was a student here. And I moved by myself, so my whole family was back in India. Mm-hmm. And my periods had stopped for like 8 months.
Okay.
I had no periods.
Okay. Back then.
Back when I was 17 years old.
17 years old, okay.
Yes, yeah. And so I'd moved by myself to this very new country, and I was figuring things out, and there was so much going on. And essentially, my period had stopped. I was experiencing some other health issues as well, where I was having some blood in my urine, right, when I was doing kidney tests. Mm-hmm. And conventional medicine wasn't able to give me anything for that. Mm. Right? They were like, drink more water, whatever, right? Like, we don't have an answer.
Drink more water. Drink warm water or hot water.
Warm water, yes. But it wasn't really, helping exactly, right? Because it was such an issue where it wasn't serious enough to be like, okay, we need to be on something, on dialysis or whatever. But it wasn't normal either. So it was kind of in that in-between stage where I'm still wondering, why am I having blood in my urine, and why aren't doctors able to help me, right? So when I went back to India, my acupuncturist was able to tell me there was a reason behind this, and then we can actually fix it. Mm. Right? Why is your body doing this? And we can actually make it better. You don't have to wait for it to get worse.
Mm.
Right? So that was a huge turning point for me. And that's how I got into traditional Chinese medicine.
Mm.
And I saw the benefit of it. Like within a few months of treatment, within not even a few months, it was only a month, because I had to go back for only a month when I had my time off from school.
Mm.
And I had to come back to school here as well, right? Mm. So when I went to India, we only had a month and regular acupuncture treatments. And before, I saw there was blood in my urine, and then after, I saw there was no blood in my urine. It was normal. Mm.
Oh, wait. So I want to confirm this, that you had this Chinese doctor in China.
No, in India.
In India.
There's a lot of individuals practicing traditional Chinese medicine, all over the world, right, including India.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of doctors traditional medicine doctors, traditional Chinese medicine doctors who are doing amazingly well, really supporting people, like even in India.
Oh, so I thought that sometimes the local Indian people would be a Chinese doctor like you do and give the diagnosis to you. But this doctor you met, mm-hmm. it was just a Chinese medicine doctor or Chinese traditional medicine doctor
exactly.
trained in China but trying to support people and help people, and she happened to be in India.
So she or he, sorry, he, oh. it's a he, and so he, so there's many generations of treatments, right? So in fact, there's a lot of learning tools as well where they, you know, it's doctors are teaching traditional Chinese medicine. In fact, one of my friends who has her own TCM, traditional Chinese medicine practice, she's from France.
Mm.
And so she learned traditional Chinese medicine in Canada.
Mm.
And so she goes, so this is how the world works, right? So she goes back to India to teach other doctors how to practice traditional Chinese medicine. But she herself is from France.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a very globalized story.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you had this. I guess you tried something different in local Indian medicine or treatment as well, because I know that they have some long history, right?
Yeah. Ayurvedic medicine, that's right, yes. But I hadn't tried that. That's not very popular, though.
Mm.
Conventional medicine is very popular in India, right? And then, so I just went straight to the conventional doctor.
Mm.
And then from there, through somebody, I heard that, you know, you could go see this traditional Chinese medicine doctor. So that's how I ended up there.
Okay, and it worked out after you went back to school.
Absolutely. So right then, I took blood work before and after.
Mm.
And so in that month of treatment, I took some blood work after, and I was able to see that there's no more blood in my urine. It's clear.
Okay.
And all normal urine analysis in the blood work or in the urine analysis, right?
That's very interesting. Because from what I know, I grew up in China, and I had similar experiences where my period was a little messy.
Yeah.
So my mom took me to see the Chinese traditional medicine doctors because that's a more mild treatment instead of having some kind of injection, and you all of a sudden get regular period, but then you get gain weight uncontrollably or in different kind of side effects.
Absolutely.
But I thought that the traditional Chinese treatment comes very slowly and cure it deeply. This is what I've been educated, and this is also my real experience. So I'm
not necessarily true, actually.
So it actually worked very fast.
Yes, it worked very fast. And even when it comes to, this is why I love the whole theory behind traditional Chinese medicine. And I started to learn about it, right?
Right.
So that's where, you know, like my interest grew in Chinese medicine. And it's actually very, very effective, very fast. You know, let's say, you know, there's a period problem or pain. Let's just take pain with menstrual cycles, right? Pain and period. With one traditional Chinese medicine acupuncture treatment, that can be, you know, that you can feel better.
You've already seen the effect.
Exactly. You can already see the effect.
Mm.
So you don't have to wait to, although I would say for full body treatment, you know, like it takes time to really understand the person and really dig into why they're experiencing it. But it's not to say that it's not fast and effective, right? Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing that, because I feel proud of it. however, I do wanted to know that you were, that happened in your high school, but then you started to learn and study or continue your, how to say, undergrads, the official degree in medicine or in...
Yes, I'll talk about that as well. So my story is kind of like I've done a few different things, and then I ended up doing, you know, naturopathic medicine, right? So I started off with a biomedical engineering diploma.
Right.
Which is basically we're working with medical equipment, right? In the hospital, we're learning to calibrate it, we're learning to repair it, all that sort of stuff. But I found myself really interested in learning about the anatomy of the body, the physiology, and how we work. So I was more interested in the human beings than the machines, right?
That's great, by the way.
Yeah. And so that's where I knew sort of like, okay, I want to deal with people. I want to learn about their physiology. I want to learn how our body body works, right?
Mm.
So, but I didn't have my permanent residency here in Canada. I was still on a student visa, right? I was on a student visa.
Right.
So when you're on a student visa, fees can be quite expensive.
Yeah, you were at UBC, right?
No, this was back in Toronto.
Oh, back in Toronto.
Back in Toronto.
Okay.
This was a college, right? So, so this is a college, and I was basically like, this was a 3-year program, but I finished in like 2.25 years.
Right.
And then basically, I wanted to get my permanent residency.
Right. That makes sense because it offers the convenience for you to be focused on what you are studying and working on.
Yes,
right?
Yes, exactly, right? And I also had heard that you can't be a medical student on a student visa or something like that, right?
Oh,
so you have to be a permanent resident. This was for conventional medicine, right? So I was like, okay, let me work on getting my permanent residency.
Right.
So basically, I was looking for work. So from Toronto, I wasn't getting any, job opportunities there. And so I moved to Saskatchewan. It's a very, very, one of the coldest provinces I've been to. And it's freezing your eyelashes. It's freezing your nose hairs. And it's very, very cold.
Yeah.
And so I remember my car, used to freeze after work, right? Like, because it's so cold.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I walk 2 minutes to the car, it's like everything's frozen in my face.
Right.
And I used to get like hot water to like pour. This is a bad idea, by the way, for any listeners. Do not pour hot water on your car. But I used to do that for... just opening up my car door.
Right. But the whole story is to support you getting your permanent
residency.
Yeah. So that is like sort of part of the strategy, right? Mm-hmm. For you to be able to continue and contribute in this career.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So after you get this problem solved, how did you continue that? How did you make your choice?
Yeah. So as I was getting my permanent residency,
right,
I basically sort of like, I knew kind of the timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I applied to UBC, I applied to a whole bunch of other schools, and because I'd visited Vancouver before and I saw how beautiful it is out here.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful, right?
So only in summer, though. Yeah.
True. Otherwise, it's a lot of rain, but I still really enjoy it.
Mm.
It's so much better than, in my opinion, because... Nothing, it's obviously like it's, in my opinion, I really love the nature and the fact that you can just walk by and hike on the mountain
right.
and then just walk by to the ocean, right? It's very, very in touch with nature.
Yeah.
And so I'd seen how beautiful it was. And so we applied to UBC, right? And so my mom actually said, like, just apply, see what happens, right?
Right.
And so I listened to my mom and I was like, applied and I got in. And so I was like, okay, now I can start my undergrad journey, because for anybody getting into medical school, conventional or naturopathic, whichever one, you have to have your undergrad first.
Right.
And then based on that, you're then getting into your, another 4 years of post undergrad education, like your doctoral program, right?
Right.
So I finished my undergraduate degree in integrated sciences.
Mm.
And then from there, I'd applied to naturopathic medical school.
Mm.
And so now it's called Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, CCNM.
Mm.
And it's the Boucher campus here and out in New West that I went to.
Oh, wow. What a long professional training journey. So be able to get where you are and be... be responsible and also credible to what you do to your, clients? Should I call them clients?
Yeah,
should I call
clients,
them patients?
Patients, yeah. I usually refer to my clients as patients. Yes, yeah. So as a, doctor-patient relationship, right? Very important. And
Because I feel like for Chinese medicine, it's not necessarily like you have to feel sick to become somebody's, a doctor's patients, but you can also be like, oh, I just want to feel better. I just want a better health condition. And I can also go find someone, especially for the acupuncture.
Yes, the naturopathic medicine and acupuncture that I practice. Absolutely right. I love that you picked up on that, because naturopathic medicine and traditional Chinese medicine, there are so much more than treating sickness.
Yes, right? That's why I said clients.
Absolutely.
In that case, absolutely, they're clients.
Yeah.
Because you wanted that, to offer something that's nice to have.
Absolutely. Nice to have and, you know, so to speak, something I would say needed, but they don't realize it.
That's one of the things we realize from a lot of our clients, too, that a lot of time that we don't know, things can get better.
Yeah.
Because we feel like, oh, we're fine, but there's something that doesn't work out, and I thought I'm just not good, or I'm a lazy person, I'm stupid. But the thing is, when you go and get the diagnosis, you realize, oh, there's a solution for some unseeable or under-discovered problem.
Absolutely. If I may elaborate on that, just to give you a you know, like a little difference of how naturopathic doctors would see the same blood work,
right,
as prescribed by a conventional doctor, right? And just the way the system, you know, like, I want to say this up front, is that I have a lot of respect for conventional doctors. It's not me against them, is that we work together, but there's a different perspective of how we see the same blood work, right? And so how I support patients is different from how a conventional medical doctor supports their patients.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Is that there's a conventional doctors, what's the other side, or what are other columns?
Yeah, so basically you would see conventional medicine, right? And there's naturopathic doctors, there's acupuncturists or traditional Chinese medicine doctors. Yeah, so those are a few of the kind of complementary. So I guess I'll talk about my college. So we're regulated by CCHPBC, which is Complementary College of you know, health professionals in BC, right? So essentially they have four bodies in there, so which is naturopathic doctors, acupuncturists, and traditional Chinese medicine doctors and practitioners. And there's registered massage therapists are in there, and then also registered chiropractors as well. So we're all under the same college. And so similar to our college, you'll see College of Physicians, right, in BC, that regulate the conventional doctors.
Right.
And so then you see College of Physicians and Surgeons is the actual college. Yeah, so it's similar. We all come under the same health healthcare system, essentially.
I see. Mm-hmm. I asked that because when I was in China, I thought there's two simple categories, which one is the Chinese traditional one, and another one is the Western doctors. So that was very straightforward and easy to understand.
That's true,
from your introduction or explanation, we understand that within this Chinese traditional medicine area, we have each different niche, and you pick your special niche to focus on.
Not necessarily within the traditional Chinese medicine. So within the complementary health professionals, there's you know, naturopathic doctors, right? That's what I practice, but I also learn acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine as part of my program.
I see.
Which is what interested me in the program, right?
Yeah.
One of the main reasons. And then you have people who go to traditional Chinese medicine school, and they're TCM practitioners, like acupuncturists, or traditional Chinese medicine doctors, right? So that's one category. And then you also have the other massage therapists and chiropractors as well as part of our college.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds quite complicated, but really attractive, because I want to know what I can do to make myself look better, feel better, and more energetic. And what you're working on seems like helpful.
Yes, absolutely right. To go back to, you know, what we would see differently in the lab work, and I'm going to tie this to how people can feel better, right? And so just for example, your ferritin levels, let's take your iron levels, right? Ferritin is a is one of the iron level, you know, names for the iron level in your body, right? And so ferritin, usually if you look at your lab work, it says maybe 15 to 75 or something, or no, 15 to like 30 is normal, right? But just because it's in that range, that doesn't mean it's optimal. It may be normal. Normal in lab work is built on what's normal in the community.
Okay.
It takes everybody's blood work and it says this is what normal is. Okay. But is it optimal?
Oh, I see.
Yeah. When you ask a naturopathic physician, most of the time ferritin levels, if it comes back normal, that doesn't mean that it's optimal, right? For it to be in the optimal range, I would say it has to be close to 100.
It's really complicated for me to understand. So that's why we need to find professionals, I guess.
Exactly, right? So if when it comes to energy levels,
yeah,
your iron level matters a lot. To give you an example, right? Like that's one of the things that I would see when a patient walks through my door and they're like, oh, I don't have energy. Right? So I do iron infusions, like IV therapy, right? Iron infusion. This is basically bypassing the whole digestive method of taking, and like, let's say, an iron supplement, because so many people have difficulty taking an iron supplement because it disrupts their digestion.
Okay.
It causes constipation, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very difficult for your body to absorb iron orally, right? So what I do is I do an iron infusion, which bypasses the whole digestive system. It goes directly into your blood. And that really bumps up. It does such a good job of bringing your iron levels up. And it really gives patients energy.
Oh, that's a great answer. For me, I think as a patient or a client, I just need to know how long it takes and what the effect that I feel, right? So it's pretty simple and straightforward. By the way, one of our audiences from our live streaming asked, can we find or easily find the Chinese medicine clinic or something that you do in Canada or Vancouver?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So if you say, you know, naturopath near me, or if you say, you know, fertility acupuncture, for example, right? That's definitely, you can find an acupuncturist. So very, very easily you can find a person who practices traditional Chinese medicine. There's so many practitioners out there. There's so many naturopathic doctors as well.
Right. So I feel like if I'm just a person who doesn't know anything about it, but I want a treatment, and I probably will have a stereotype that, oh my God, this person looks like Chinese, so he or she must know Chinese medicine or acupuncture better, and you look professional, but you look like Indian, and then you don't look, you don't look like Chinese. There's a possibility for people to under-evaluate your professional skill set. So how would you deal with that problem? Or you are targeting to a special group of people who are easily or easier to build trust with?
That's a really good question. That's a really good question, right? Most of my, you know, and this is kind of like, it goes back to who we talk to, what their experience is, and what they know about how Canadian practices work, how Canadian healthcare system is, right? So because I talk to other doctors, and, you know, I have, you know, friends who are doctors, friends who are traditional medicine practitioners, right? It's kind of, you know, in my world, it's very common. In my world, it's very common for a non-Chinese person to be practicing and really, really good at traditional Chinese medicine because they went to school for it. They learned that, right? And so my, in fact, I have just become a clinic owner. It's called Killarney Health out in Vancouver.
Right.
And so the reason I bring that up is because one of my practitioners, he is a, he's Chinese, right? Mm. Like he's Chinese. And so he practices traditional Chinese medicine.
Right.
Another person who I'm bringing on board to practice traditional Chinese medicine is European.
Mm.
Another, female European, right? Another practitioner who I'm bringing on board is a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner. He's a, Canadian male, right? So we've all gone to school. And so the way we talk about our practices is basically in what you said, to build trust and to let people know that we're practicing this is by social media, right?
Mm.
And so we talk about our credentials, like where we went to school, what we practice. But it really comes down to the people we have treated, right? So the people who I'm having on board and people who I bring on board, they have a lot of experience helping patients with using traditional Chinese medicine.
Mm.
And so that's what we're going to be talking about in my social media as well. So people can know. Yeah.
Right. So from what I heard or understood from you just mentioned, there's at least 2 to 3 points for you to be able to win the trust from your patients. The first is that you do have a diverse team and you have been working on this with people who are all over the world or from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually better or better match fit in places like Vancouver.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. Because Vancouver is very multicultural, right?
Yeah, it's very multicultural.
Yeah, and in fact, I have to say, our clinic is situated where we have a very diverse population.
Right.
Very, very diverse population. A lot of people from South Asia.